This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the Line Breaks. Here is the very, very special 1 year Line Break episode! Woo! I am so excited to share this episode with you all at YWP. I had the idea to create a poetry collection featuring everyone's writing from this past year of Line Break episodes, and it's kind of like a poetry collection for your ears, and I thought it would be really cool to include and a great way to celebrate all of the amazing writers and writing that has made Line Break possible for the past year, which is so crazy to me. I know that I think YWP and everyone who's been on the podcast and has listened to it in pretty much every episode, but I just want to say thank you again because I'm so, so grateful, and Line Break just means so much to me as a writer and as a teenager and as a person in the world. I'm so glad that I'm able to share it with others who can get as much from it as I do. So, with that being said, here is the special 1 year of Line Break and photos and writing episode of Line Break. I hope you enjoy. Hi, I'm here with Iris Jane. And she's going to read her poem, A Reminder About the Boy You Love.
All right. A reminder about the boy you love, as told through a swing dance in a physics textbook. The boy is but an echo. The boy is but a tune. The boy is but a sharp. The boy is but a scuff in wood. The boy is but a pause between sets, a present. Science promises pasts and futures slip into each other. I couldn't tell you why. I couldn't explain how the fabric of space and time dips and spins and stretches, but if you watch the dancer's shoes, how they turn on a dime, when the floor becomes pure grease and every glint of heel is a star, you will understand. You will see it in the way your friend plays the flute, keys clacking. It is all only interaction, quanta shifting. There is no here or this, just as there is no him. He's only atoms momentarily stable before returning to dust, like some Bible verse the liars got 1/4 right. The boy is but a blip.
This is Ink Pa reading Questions of a Self-Considered Poet.
Questions of a Self-Considered Poet. Simple moments, big ideas, twisted together with thoughtful fingers in a well-placed pause. Here and there, eraser crumbs on my shirt and caught in my uncombed hair. Does this make me a poet? My fingers still twitching across my page, words appearing from this half-broken pencil. My stomach complains about the broken promise I made to eat breakfast an hour ago. But my half-broken pencil keeps writing these words. Does this make me a poet? Time wasting away and soon gone is my day. And I'm writing late into the night, under my dimmed kitchen light, the eraser crumbs still caught in my hair, and a fully broken pencil lying over there. I found a new one that worked just as well, and the words keep on flowing, and my poems keep on growing. Does this make me a poet?
Hi, I am here with Lady Midnight. She's going to be reading her poem, Lost and Found.
And the candle flame falls, but we still try to dream on a cloud, dipped in memories, immersed in a bittersweet feel of a grudge against the universe, a hatred for the wretched and indolent sky thief, for just as we begin to love something, it is lost in the great realms of the majestic night sky. Only in photos of the quaking earth can we finally find a reason to live, and in the stars we see the constellation of the lost and loved for. Underneath that blanket of light, their veins run thick with your tears. While you x-ray every part of their soul to hold in your hands until the love of the world zips up your bleeding heart and his candle burns in our eyes forever.
I'm here with Everlasting Waves, and she's going to be reading her poem, Music.
Music. For some odd reason, I find music hidden in the zip-zop of snow pants, in the rocking chair creaking back and forth in the wind. In each step taken as your shoes hit the hard pavement with a little thud, in the sound of the blinker as your car prepares to make a turn. Music is everywhere. You just need to know how to look in the right places.
Hi, I'm here with Fire Girl, and she's going to be reading her poem, Time Capsule of January 2020.
Time Capsule of January 2020. Breathe as you listen to the heartbeat of the world. Be quiet. If you are hiding, do not make noise. Listen to me now. I do not care if you are loud. Hold hands with the floor as she tips her angle. Breathe in the trees while you still can. Become courageous in the lion's roar. Do not throw a stone at your reflection. Marvel at the fact that you are living. You breathe air. You walk upon the earth. You feel. Marvel at the fact that you have hands. You can bend them, make beautiful things with them, cradle with them, outstretch them. Now become delirious with the fact that you are breathing. Air is flowing in and out of your lungs. That in itself is a miracle. You inhale through your nose, feel it pass through your body and out again. There is more of this world than you can possibly understand, and there is too much of you for this world to possibly know. Now listen to the heartbeat of the world. It is you.
I'm here with Happy Dancer, and she's going to be reading It's My Happiness.
Do you like my outfit? You don't. I know it. How many followers do you have? That's twice the number I have. I can't wear this. It's not the trend anymore. So, how did you like my poem? You hate it. How did I lose that dance competition? So, did he talk to you? You did not laugh at my joke. I thought it was funny. How do you have so many friends? Does anyone want to come to dance with me? I'm thinking maybe the purple dress. Do you like it? You don't. Ugh, I'm going to look awful. Why is happiness the number of people I sit with at lunch? Or the grades I get? Or the amount of followers I have? Or how pretty you think I look in my dress? Why can't happiness just be me and my thoughts and the person I know I am? The person that is suffocated by the essence of society and the person that has the potential to bloom into a golden sunflower but is always in the shadows of a large oak. Why am I so dependent on you for my happiness? It's my happiness. I own it. I take care of it. Stop trying to take my happiness and making it yours. It's not a game for you to play with. Stop trying to mold it into the physique of your hands. My heart gets that very happy, silly, bubbly feeling when I think about how beautiful, strong, powerful, and bold I am, and that I'm in control of what makes me happy, not you.
This is Two Mads Mads reading her poem For a Little While.
For a Little While. I went outside alone one day and found you in an old tree's shade. Your skin was soft, your eyes were gray. You never spoke until I spoke. I almost didn't see you there beneath your mass of messy hair. You moved as quietly as the air. You just barely caught my eye. But I was desperate for a friend and you didn't mind my talking, and I guess that you like to pretend you knew just what I meant. I told you I was all alone, no one to play with, nowhere to go. You said, I bet you didn't know that I'll always be here. A smile flickered across your face. I'd never thought of it that way. We decided then that we would play, but my mother called me in. Without a warning, you were gone. I had no choice but to move on. I said I'd come back before long, so much we'd yet to do. And as you promised when I came, again I found you in the shade. No hesitation, our minds were made, and off we ran to play. You showed me how to climb a tree. Of course I'd fall and scrape my knee, but then you'd say so pleasantly, you've got to try again. And when the snow had fallen down and it was cold, we didn't go out. Instead, I led you to my house where we would play for hours. I showed you all the things I liked. You never cried, you never whined. In fact, I'm thinking, you and I, we never disagreed. And I remember all those times when we were scared out of our minds, but we'd hold hands, walk side by side, and you would help me through. Those nights when I was tucked in bed and told to rest my sleepy head, you would appear and we instead would talk beneath the quilts. You were the greatest friend to me. You always knew just what I'd need, and you could oh so easily make me laugh and smile.
Our playing, it was pure delight, but as the years moved swiftly by, I guessed that it was hard to find the time to spend with you. I found 100 other ways to spend those hazy summer days, but surely that is not to say that I had forgotten you. Our visits simply grew less long. The time between didn't seem so hard, but you didn't seem upset at all, just smiled when I came by. Your gray eyes grew a little dim, whiter and paler became your skin, but your disposition never did seem to dampen at all. And growing up, I found my way a little taller every day. With other kids I liked to play, you slowly disappeared. But sitting now under this tree, my mind is brought to you and me, the great adventures that we'd seen in all the years since then. You stayed close by when I was scared. You played when no one else was there. And now I've grown, you've gone somewhere. But that's the natural trend for imaginary childhood friends.
This is Amaryllis reading her poem, By and By.
Under the shelter of my roof, hours bleed into days. Days blend into months, and months pour into years. We ease into the simple monotony, by and by. This home was the nest in which my loving parents raised their three little chicks, Princess Blue Jay Chickadee. One day each will set out on their own, by and by. The wind snarls as it rushes past, snatching the raindrops that cling to the eaves, unable to blow down this house of bricks. Inside, I nestle in a cocoon of blankets, where I will fall asleep with an open book in hand, by and by. Regardless of the day I've had, of what lies I've heard and said, the worn key in my hand still promises a safe haven to which I always return, by and by. I've spent innumerable hours staring up, not towards the renowned stars or the dazzling night sky, but at the smooth ridges of the stucco roof, wishing for dreams I dare not say aloud, pondering the future that will come, by and by. By and by, time will take its toll. Chicks will grow too big, and storms will come and go. But here the girl's whispered wishes will stay in the grooves of this bedroom ceiling under the shelter of my roof.
Hi, I'm here with New Leaf, and she's going to read her poem, Colors.
Trapped in my own mind, bursting at the seams, I come undone. I'm covered in colors, drawings all over my body, because my head wasn't big enough to contain it. Hug myself too tightly, so that maybe I don't feel so alone. The white walls are splattered and painted, beautiful and truthful. I paint over my beauty with thick strokes of black. My hands drip with red. It dries on my face and in my hair as I try to pull myself apart. Dark walls close in on me as I keep painting myself, trying desperately to cover up all my imperfections. It's no use. With every layer I add, I am more ruined than before. The red paint runs down my arms and drips onto the floor. I'm covered in my own toxic rage, just a ticking time bomb that can't wait to explode. Wider brushstrokes, brighter colors, more, more, more. Paint over my broken heart, paint over my rotted mind, paint over my incorrect feelings, paint over my grief. Paint over my happy, paint over my joy, paint over my wrong, paint over my pain. The angry red paint seeps into my heart, infects my lungs, destroys my eyes. I'm seeing red, breathing red, my heart beats red. My paint bucket is empty, the walls are going to crush me. I pick up my paintbrush and try again.
This is Little Elephants reading their poem, Your View.
You tell me the view is beautiful. You never want to leave. You tell me that I would love it. My shoulders still have bruises. You used my body as a ladder, climbing farther and farther. I couldn't see you anymore. You call periodically, telling me that I'm missing out, that I should climb up. But I will not use another. I will not use a body to climb up. I will not give someone the bruises I had. I will not make someone grieve love.
Hi, I'm here with Crescent Moon, and she's going to read her poem, Empty Words.
Sitting, looking at instructions that I don't know how to follow. Itching to start, but not understanding what I'm doing. Lifting my pencil and writing, vomiting, meaningless words onto the page. I don't know how I'm doing it. I'm just going through the motions, just getting through it alive. I just write what I know that the teachers want to see, not really understanding what I write. Just using keyword, freedom, journey, faith, love, things teachers eat right up, things that'll get me a good grade. And when I get it back, it's covered in notes. Good job, excellent point. You are so insightful. But they mean nothing, and I scoff, because I cut the corners. Not really cheating, but not really honest. None of it's honest, really. They just tell us, and we do exactly what they say. Following the steps, going through the motions, vomiting empty words.
This is Hannah Banana 23 reading her poem, Assumptions.
Assumptions. I walk down the street, my spirit's high, yet I can still feel the eyes boring into me. Whispers fly, questions, judgments, assumptions of me. It's not like I'm not used to this. It happens a lot, but sometimes I don't feel like giving a mini TED talk to explain. There's that you're so inspiring, but I don't need a medal for living my life. I feel as if my disability is written on my forehead. Although there's lots of judgment in my regular life, in the summer it all melts away. Nino Mountain Farm is my escape, my haven, my safe place. There, people can relate to me. At Zeno, I am not my disability. We all feel valued and feel dignity. There is so much love in this little community. I wish there was that much love in the whole world.
This is Nightheart reading her poem, Closer.
I was never any good with writing beautiful things, so I have to resort to painting tragedies. I was also never any good with watercolors. My hair is growing long, and I wonder if this is the end of the world. The tall pine trees growing outside of my house beg to differ. They have seen the end of the world many times, and zero out of those times has actually ended. I thank them, and I go on my way. Writing is so hard sometimes. I sit and think, and yet not a single beautiful thing can pass from my pen. Perhaps they were taken up by the flowers outside. Maybe poetry is what nature needs to grow, and they've been taking all they need from my body as I lie in the midday sun. I would have been happy to share. I am not sad. I am simply resigned. I've been inside for 5 weeks, but it does not feel like a lifetime. In fact, it feels like a terrifyingly short moment. I wonder if the rest of my life will pass me by like this in short moments that I can half remember. The sun tells me that I do not need to be afraid, but the moon tells me that I do. I sit under both of them and wonder which is telling the truth. I have not wanted to go anywhere more than I want to go to the grocery store and buy myself some cookies and maybe chocolate milk. People are kind to each other, and I am only learning of it now. People are kind, and we stay 6 feet apart, looking at each other as though if we try hard enough, we can transmit an apology through our eyes for not being able to come closer.
This is Frostbite, reading her poem, Deep End.
The sun is shining down upon us. Rays hit our backs, and the warmth is incredulous. We venture deeper into the woods, and deeper, and deeper. It is hot now. I brought water. It is gone now. We are too far from home. It's hot. Our skin feels like sandpaper to the touch, and sweat pours down like salty, sticky rivers. Deeper and deeper we go into the woods. Why? The deeper we go into the woods, the farther we are from help, the farther we are from water. Then why? It feels nice to be helpless, to be alone, but it is hot. I need water. And then I saw it, oozing from the dried out ravine that used to be a river, as brown as chocolate and at least a foot deep. I run towards it, finding energy I thought had drained hours ago. I reach out, touching it. So cold, so cold. It rushes through my fingertips and tingles down my spine in an instant. Ah, it feels so good. I cover myself in it, ruining my clothes. I do not care. I continue on, trudging, deeper, deeper. It dries and hardens, and I am lost.
This is Trini Rogando reading her poem, Three Words.
I read on the internet once that the most powerful three words in the world are I love you. One, I am 16 and I ache to wait to hear that fall from someone's lips. Nervous smiles and sweaty palms, the glassy, delicate profession, breathless but true. The movies tell me it will be magical, as if I need any more reason to wait for her. her who is kind and sensible, perfect winged eyeliner, smelling of apple pie and cinnamon buns. I don't know her yet, but I yearn, waiting for three words. 2. I am 16 and I ache to live, to wake up excited to read texts saying good morning, to the thrill of ditching class in the middle of second, illicit midnight trips under lamplight and under stars. The movies promised me I'd live at 16, and I hurt when I wonder, what did I do wrong to be such a failure now? Still I yearn, thoughts circling my mind at every spare moment. Why am I not good enough? I wait for three words. 3. I am 16 and I ache for my impossible wants. Surrounded with dreams of greener time, unwanted I wander to halls. But he stops me, cradling a textbook to his chest. We share nothing but half-friendly conversations in an honors English class. Still, my heart is cracked in two, and I am tired of waiting, but three words fall from his lips, not breathless, but full of care. There during second, under harsh fluorescent lights, I think the internet was wrong. Are you okay?
This is Ava Clare reading her poem, Dandelion Puffs on the Wind.
As a bird fidgets with a seed, a girl taps the reload button over and over till her finger is smushed flat and her eyes are stained with pixels. Nothing new comes when she reloads, again and again. Eyelids close black on the screen, chargeless from her demands. She slaps her fingers on the desktop in disgust, mouth cinching, brows narrowing, a small huff pinched from her lips. But she stops, unclenching her face. She looks at nothing sitting on her window. Galaxies floating beyond her pupils, whispering cries, beating drums. She sees the nose-curling ingredients inside the hot dog, the things shiny wrappers try to hide. She sees people running and hiding and crying, cradling babies already running before they can walk, fearing the places that once held them tight. People on the streets, not a crumb in their pocket, nor a coin, only holes. People who work for many spins of time till they make the little handful that is their lifeline. People fighting on the front lines and in the smallest restaurants, floating on boats made from courage, hard work, and perseverance. But the children, huddled with no lullabies, look into their eyes, lined with silver tears, cutting streaks down their faces. The girl starts, coming from the stars, back to her spot before the computer's big black eye. A single tear slips from her lashes, onto the reload key, the desk, flowing with pencils and erasers and papers, looked at by the girl as disposable, replaceable, nothing but dandelion puffs on the wind. The cry of the world echoes in her ears. She twists her fingers together, tight as the promise coiled round her heart. She would never, never again take what she had for granted. The clothes, the ceiling, the freedom, she would never, never again ask the night sky for more than she had already been given, a beating heart and a sturdy mind. Because how rich would the soil be if we planted our seeds with a bit more appreciation?
I'm Queen of Dawn, and this is Waiting for Inspiration. I sit down at my desk, on the floor, at a table. Open my laptop, my notebook, try to clear my mind. I tell myself, just write. But some days I feel like I've forgotten the only language I am fluent in, unable to narrate my own life story. My writing riddled with holes, my ideas stolen from an author I don't remember, stuck to the back of my mind like forgotten memories, tacked to a corkboard, all of this just recycled words. I trip over paragraphs, knees scraped on stanzas, tangled by my metaphors, landing in a pile of fractured words and graphite dust. I get distracted by water droplets on the window and snippets of yesterday, feeling that what I'm supposed to say is on the tip of my tongue, but I can't quite taste it. Some days I have nothing to say and I walk away, waiting, hoping for a stroke of genius, an idea worth scrawling on the palm of my hand, because some days my words are calligraphy ink, curling artwork, smooth lines and even brushstrokes, but some days they come out clotted and cracking, and I wonder, what do I rely on when my own voice is inconsistent, And I wonder, if no one hears these words, what do I need to tell myself? These poems are supposed to be full of fire, but some days the most I can do is drift.
Hi, my name is Troublemaker, and this is entitled 4 AM. Sitting on my bed at night, wishing for a star, come wave hello for my delight, night owls we are. Come take my hand and lead me through the universe at large. Bless me with your tinkling laugh among the planet shards. Sitting in my bed at night, eyes are wide awake, looking at the moon so clear, its presence I can't shake. A comet shows me wrinkles of the time I spend asleep, making sense of dreams I've dreamt, it answers in a peep. Looking out my window shade, the silence greets my soul. Suspended plasma takes a breath, it takes a pleasant pull. How many shadows do appear on any given night? How many sneezes from a star dispel and bring in light? Lying on my bed at night, eyes are getting dimmer. Thinking of humanity, are we just a filler? The middle pages to the end of something extraordinary. But what we do matters, it's not imaginary. Eyes grow dim and hearts will slow. I'm the only person blinking. Everyone oblivious to the birds and shadow kisses. I've stayed far too late into the night. My eyes have fluttered closed. The silence is a comfort and the stars have let me doze.
These next poems are featured in the Anthology 11, and you can listen to the Anthology 11 episode of Line Break to hear more about them.
Hi, my name is Audrey, and my username on Young Writers Project is Amaryllis. I'm going to read my poem, I Failed. But you know what? At least I failed epically, so spectacularly that the best he could say is, at least you played the notes right. They were not in tune nor to any rhythm. Does this make me a failure? Perhaps. I don't care, though, because I'm just relieved it's done. Although I suppose it was over, the moment I thought, I'm doomed! When I could finally let go of the stale hopes I was holding onto so tightly until my palms were slick with liquid fear, laughing at myself in advance, at the voice inside who calls me a loser, batting at the incessant fly constantly hovering by my ear, incessantly buzzing that I am not enough. I am a disappointment. But you know what? These knees have seen the ground more times than you can count, and all I can do is dust off the scrapes, red pride dripping down my leg, and carry on. Why not try to have a good time while I'm at it? It stings and it hurts to be taken down a few rungs, but isn't all medicine bitter? To be able to laugh at oneself, to truly, genuinely be merry after, despite failure, is to say, I am proud of what I have done, despite the voices, buzzing, scrapes. One day there will be but echoes, corpses, scars. They are proof that I am not yet broken.
My name is Samantha Aikman, and I am Love to Write on Young Writers Project, and this is for my dad when he was 8. Sometimes, especially on days when I wake before the sun, I cry and don't know why. I think most people do occasionally. Last week, I received a brown envelope full of old passports. I stood at the countertop and opened it with my nail. I flipped through the top few and examined my grandfather's picture, the stamps, the places he'd been, his signature on the line. And then, at the bottom of the stack, there was my father. I knew without reading the name. He had the same half smile and open eyes and way he tilted his head. And then I was crying, and I think I was happy. I remember smiling and licking a tear from the top of my lip. I couldn't stop looking at that tiny worn passport photo. I couldn't figure out how all that rain got inside my heart.
Hi, I'm Lily. I'm also a dog poet, and this is my poem, I Can't Write in a Box. I can't write in a box. Not the big cardboard one waiting to leave with our recycling. Not the small ornate golden tea box in an antique shop somewhere or other. And not the cold metal safe that could travel and appear in every bank at once. Not any box. I can't write in a box. Some boxes my words would overflow, spilling over the edges and scrambling across the floor. Some they would feel too small in. In some, they would cluster about in each other, making tight clumps and little knots. They would feel judged and looked at by too many molecules of box. Flammable boxes will not work. My words could be like balls of fire,
and frozen ice boxes and refrigerators are too cold and unwelcoming. My letters want to spin themselves into jeweled crowns and beautiful rainbows. My words could weave together and apart, making shimmering curtains of light, or they're just too plain and ordinary, or they have too much fight. So please, not a box. I can't write in a box.
Hi, my name is Jaden. My username is Troublemaker, and the title of my piece is called My Father's Daisy Apron. I had no idea. None. Who would? But quarantine made things different, bizarre, in at least one way, amazing. Did you know my dad can cook? I did not. My sister did not. I don't think he knew either. How could he have known his talent for cooking? He used to work nonstop. My father would leave early, come home late, and never, ever have time to cook dinner. But then in an instant, he was back in our arms, constantly, working from home for only a few hours. Then he would put on the daisy-covered apron, stare intently at the YouTube cooking video, and he would be in the kitchen for hours, chatting with coworkers, with us, and somehow producing wonderful chicken, rice, and vegetable dishes, which we never knew could have come from our small kitchen. How did you do that? We would ask in amazement, savoring every bite. And he'd excitedly tell us about his newest discovery in barbecue, fried, or sauteed techniques. So, in a small way, I'm thankful for this time we had, for my family to discover another amazing part of themselves and share these wonderful moments. Otherwise, we never would have witnessed my dad's cooking skills, and I will always treasure my hardworking father in a daisy apron, spoon in hand, smiling from ear to ear as we taste his newest discoveries and rave about its amazingness.
My name is Marina Sprague. My username on Young Writers Project is Marina2020. I wrote the short story Books and Coffee. A single college student sits with her legs crossed, typing tentatively on her computer. The small coffee shop table is just big enough to hold her laptop, two open notebooks, and a brown ceramic coffee mug. The chair across her lies vacant, just the way it always has been. Sylvia, the owner of this 24-hour cafe, walks leisurely to her only customer. She doesn't even bother asking Aria if she wants more coffee. She just pours some into her mug. Aria looks up for a moment to see the clock on the far wall strike 9 p.m. Scanning the room, she realizes, for the first time, that she's the only one there. Aria glances out the window to her left into the city street. The snow is falling gently and sticking to the ground. Her eyes scan over the area across the desolate road. The few street lamps illuminate the night just enough for Aria to make out some of the nearby businesses. She smiles, looking at Leon's Library, a place she ventures often. Then she sees Take Note Music Store and mentally takes note to go there sometime soon. Her line of sight diminishes as the snow falls more heavily. Sylvia hums to the soft music, drawing Aria's attention back inside the warm cafe. Shrugging her jacket off, Aria feels more comfortable with just her gray tank top and black leggings. With a sigh, Aria goes back to typing an assignment for her writing class.
My username on YWP is Fun is a Necessity, and my poem is In Praise of Plain Clothes Poetry. I'm uninterested in poetry that wants to take it out of me. That's not quite true. I really do sometimes truly like it. I get a sadistic urge to be talked down to, and I pick up something by T.S. Eliot, whose name is spelled with just one L, defying me and expectation. I look at his allusions and feel smart for my efforts to get in on the jokes via a combination of English degrees and internet research. Such costly comprehension, though, cannot be my daily bread. I cannot subsist on fussy macarons and souffle that drops when bumped. I need plain clothes poetry that is willing to risk being called trite and ordinary in a valiant effort to protect and witness my soft and lazing heart. I love it when words are just words, surface, level, beautiful, without demand for further searching. I love words that reward attention anyway. I love words that do not push me into their wit-crafted ravines of confusion, but instead help me climb dust-covered and bewildered out of my own.
This is Yellow Sweater reading her poem, The Big Blue.
It's September. I'm looking for a coat. The dry grass trembles stiffly in the wind, mist sharpening the brown into a shimmering copper. The rain smells like cake, like a warm inside. I pick my way through the back closet. The rough felt of well-worn wool brushes against my face. It's itchy in an intimate way, the kind of itchy that reminds you of the comfortable and the uncomfortable, the difficult charm of history. My fingers find a piece of thick blue fabric. Feeling the warm weight, I wrap it around my shoulders. It takes the form of a coat, an old, itchy, lovely, dusty blue coat. All bundled up, I step out into the rain. I walk down the street. The pavement is like a piece of fruit dissolving, relieved it no longer has to hold itself tight. It smells like wet berries and fallen plums. We are all rotting, relaxing, and our juices are seeping into the dry earth. I head down the street to the edge. I watch the mist tumble out and in. As my hair becomes wet, I sit down on a piece of driftwood, slipping my hands into the pockets of my coat. The sea and the sky are both gray. Two grays, two blues, two moving things becoming one. The ocean is clearer than I have ever seen it, and hard. The sky breaks on its surface. We sit there for a few moments, my coat and I. On the edge of memory of making, I skip stones. Eventually they sink. I can see them fall into the ocean. Everything smells, the salt, the dirt, the mist, the stones, my coat. I run across the sands, hoping my fast moving legs will set me free. I leap from my log, but my coat holds me to the earth. It's good for walking, good for sitting. I'm glad to have it around my shoulders as I stare into the sea, a vast, vague sea. My coat was my grandfather's, and he was a fisherman. For him, the ocean held no fear, but it was full of fish.
My username on Young Writers Project is Elusive Purple Panda, and my poem is called Sonnet to Concrete. What comes after winter's fearful whip? Tell, what gives sway to summer-scented sage? To what gives imagination's muses blush? The forests bloom green, the bees nectar rush. What book can tell, aye, what poet can say? My naked toes pressed on what earth has sung, burning from the warmth on which sun has hung her shooting fires to make human pyres. 'Tis not the thrush nor the greenery that gives summer sway. 'Tis the flat concrete stair, mirroring earth's light, book pages that glare soft white. Too harsh for mine own squinting eyes.
Hi, I'm Zoe B on Young Writers Project, and this is my poem titled A Boy in a Trench Coat. The whole world is going crazy. I should be worrying about the election right now, but I'm distracted because today I saw a boy in a trench coat. Not a creepy trench coat or an ugly one. Not stained with the tears of late nights or pitted with cigarette burns and the such. It was brown, camel brown, caramel brown. I will never forget you, brown, drive-in movie brown, second grade art teacher brown. Brown like the last bitter sip of hot chocolate sitting on your mother's lap at night. His hair was the color of sand dunes and his coat complemented it. He looked, in the best way, like a camel, although that doesn't sound very nice. I wish I could have walked up to him. Complimented his trench coat, struck up a conversation, told him I had one that was pink like bubblegum and Christmas carols and slippers. But we were in a Hannaford's, and even though he seemed lovely, camel-like, and time seemed to slow just a bit around him, even though he looked sweet and kind and I was feeling brave, I didn't go say hi, because we were in a Hannaford's and the whole world was going crazy, and I hate how I look. I was embarrassed because our cart was full of clearance food and he was busy and we were all wearing masks. So today I'm distracted because I might have just missed my soulmate, a boy in a Hannaford's wearing a brown trench coat.
Hi, I'm Stargirl and my poem is called HH. The first time I saw you, I didn't really see you, hardly even noticed you. my mind busy with other things. Things like staying 6 feet away from other people, how much food we bought. I didn't pay attention to you, the sandy-haired boy, working at the cash register on a Friday in Hannaford's. I only found out later from my mom that you had seen me and stopped moving, only to realize my mom was watching this and started bleeping through her groceries, still sneaking glances at me. Me, oblivious. Long after we left, long after you helped my little sister buy candy for her friend, long after mom complimented you, do you know what I did when I found out what had happened? I laughed to cover up my disappointment, and I regretted it, not noticing you or looking back at you. The next time I saw you, I was alone, standing under the fluorescent lights, got sent to the self-checkout right in front of you. When you saw me, you froze, like a deer caught in the headlights, literally did not blink, not even move. I held your gaze, warm caramel against blue, green, gray, brown, blue, neither of us moving, until an old lady in your line snapped at you to hurry up. She didn't have all day. Guess she wasn't having the best day. You blushed and looked down. I paid for my smart food popcorn, collected my receipt, and walked away. I told my friends about you. They tease me, refer to you as HH, Hannaford Hottie. They don't know.
Hi, this is Saskia G, and this is On Days Like These. On days like these, we hold tea between our teeth, asked to be calmed by some warm, hopeless skin like a thin line of chai against porcelain. Milk on your lips, I'm waiting. An acquired feel winter has, and 16 years of ice I've swallowed. Sometimes I want you to spell out a syllable in my voice. Words seem so much kinder when they drip from your tongue. If I could have even a bowl of your mistakes, I'd place them on the kitchen counter beside a warm plate of figs. How much I would like to trade errors because yours at least make a nice centerpiece. Before we drift, like thick fish bones in a tall glass of water, close the door and tell me how you spoke when you were brittle, how you learned to swim, which breaths you choose from a line of wind. Clean out your licorice drawer and fill it with rice. Try to find me in the grains. Who? I am one and you are all of them. With strawberry eyes on mine, I am sold by stomach linings. Keep me safe, solid part. Don't let me be again but a small sleeping tree.
I'm Nina Estrella on YWP, and this is my poem, Salty Royalty. Because I like the idea of being a queen, grapevines twisting around my heart, southern noons painted in pointillism, beauteous con artists bringing me briny gold, and sand that I trailed over my checkered marble. And if I ask, take me out to the middle of the sea, so my petticoats float around me as a jellyfish would sting, I scream into the salt. Because when the rain falls, it's a queen's bath, drops evolving into wet petals when they hit the heat-soaked gravel. Queens don't ask to wear shoes. Evenings covered up in veils that cloud me in confection. 4:30 a.m. dances on balconies, twirling and teetering and tipping towards the weeds. Midday heat steaming through the floor of my white leather car. Open the windows and breathe until there's too much bay air in my lungs, like sails billowing with wafting breezes. The harbor is my home. Queens don't ask to walk on water. They just do.
Hi, I'm Chief Pup Writer, and this is my poem, Cilantro Flowers. I know they were only a waste of space in the garden, kept the cilantro from growing longer, better sitting on our kitchen table anyway. But somehow these little white flowers in a mason jar fill up an empty space inside me with warmth and happiness and something that feels like a smile. I know it only took moments to snip scissors across the stems, slip the severed pieces into a jar of water, but weeks and weeks after those flowers lived on our table, I can still recall them. The clusters of tiny white blossoms, thin green stems blurry behind the words engraved across the jar, as though they're still there, bright as ever. And I know they were tiny, were easy to find a spot for among the plates, the silverware, the clutter of the 100 things I need to put away. But these flowers sparked something bigger, and they took me back to a place where things were joyful, a place where things were right, a place where the simple things counted. And I don't know why, can't explain why I haven't told you why my family makes me happy, my school, my life. So don't ask me why something tiny matters so much.
but maybe ask the cilantro flowers and the mason jar on my kitchen table, because they seem to know things I don't. How to care, how to smile at someone passing by and catch their heart, how to take them into their arms even if you yourself don't have any, and bring them back to love.
Hi, I'm Isa Virus on YWP, and this is my poem, January. Periwinkle skies in the middle of the night, the inelegant purr of my typewriter. Lucid dreams, I'm aware of a complete numbness in my body that I mistake for loneliness. I only throw pennies and pears, 17 years of tossing salt over my shoulder never blinded any demons. I want to crack open pistachios while the world orbits around me. The earth itself is sometimes poetry. Cacao powder, dried flowers pressed into books with gilded pages. Spilled espresso makes ink beads that spread out on homemade paper like a ripple in the water. I walked on the frozen lake a few years ago, looked below my feet at times suspended in midair, wondered how I got to where I was. I am in 1,000 memories in 1 second. Pink hair ties sand between my toes, all the different heavens. Count to 100 because I'm waiting to be found. What does it mean to be in love? I gather pennies by the handful and stuff them greedily into empty pomegranate bodies.
My username on YWP is Amaryllis, and this is my poem, Hallowed Halos, Hallowed Be Thy Name. I don't know if I believe in angels anymore. I poured Cupid into paper wings, and when the origami butterfly didn't fly, I gathered rainwater from my eyes and tucked heaven's silence into my ribs. But iron metastasizes. My blood now cries pearls for the fallen angel, risen cynic, an odd metalloid of child and higher being. I metamorphose subconsciously, and the half of me that is my mother's hair and cheekbones tuck away my soft parts in fear that I will metabolize them and self-destruct, utterly alone. She needn't have worried. Violet hairs are cherubs that hold their bowed promises to baby skin, powdered sugar that tastes like superfluous nothing. So I will still have my brownie, if only in teenage defiance. I imagine my ancestors' blood trembling beneath my skin, graveyards roiling as they look down in disappointment, clutching their paper money and incense tangerines. I run dizzy going outside myself while trying to be present, because I am afraid of only knowing life from afar, of painting waltzes I will never dance, of becoming an eager sacrifice for people who don't care to know my face. Reflected my stream of consciousness, a ribbon mirror in which I split reality into ripples that will never lead to anything but dead flowers in a shriveled aisle of petals long gone. There's an old riddle with legs of 4 and 2 and 3, and though obsessions with underground music are futile, I excuse myself because some boxes aren't worth losing myself in. It is all I can do to put warmth in their crinkled eyes, a small lift in the edges of their lips, lies, liars, lying still. I look over my shoulder and there is no one. I used to want to write a memoir because it would mean I had a life worth reading. Would a teenage girl look up to smile at a wall, eyes shining with lamplight, screaming in all the silent ways one does when they see themselves articulated perfectly in poetic prose? But now that I finally have stories to tell, I gather them haphazardly to my chest and feel a vague sense of loss as they silently waterfall from my overflowing arms to the abyss, making each leaflet more precious by the second. I will forget, and I do not know yet if how to forget gracefully. I tell myself I like the way my brain is, cluttered and disorganized, like my bedroom and my desk and my life. I am complacent in my sheets, but it is a rainy day and nonograms, which a notes app apparently cannot fathom at this moment, make more sense than God. People spend lifetimes folding experiences into paper, into abstract sculptures of origami and nonsense. I don't know if I believe in angels anymore, but when I become drunk on the night hiding from starlight, I really wish I did, because I don't know if I like being a skeptic anymore either.
I'm Willa Pelshone. My username on Young Writers Project is Sunflower, and the title of my poem is Forget Me Please. When I leave, forget me please. I'd much rather be forgotten than have my name said with a frown. Put a few flowers by my grave and walk away, please. Tears are just too sad. I hope you dance and jump and sing, because my life was good enough and you'll have all of yours ahead of you. If you have to think of me, at least do it with a laugh at the strange old life of you and I. Make sure there's cookies and lemonade at my silly old funeral. I know you'll have the strange urge to laugh. I hope you do, and everyone looks at you and laughs as well. Life is entirely too empty of strange laughs.
My name is Eleanor. I am Ice Galaxy, and I will be reading a poem called White Dress. Moonlight slicing through the forest like a silver knife, shedding light on the rotting leaves that decorate the earth floors of the hidden world behind your daily home. During the hot hours of daylight, you work as a waitress, carrying fake plastic dishes caked with strawberry slime, half-eaten burgers, and empty salt packets. Later in the thick of the afternoon, you go home and wait for your lover to bring the alcohol home, a special kind he introduced to you that dulls the pain. In the cool hours of night, you go to bed and do not sleep, wondering how you will pull yourself out of the daily spiral you have fallen into. Tonight is different. You wake up a little past midnight, and this time you stand up, slink out of the possessive arms of your lover whom you don't love, but only tolerate because you have to. Walk silently so as to not wake your lover, and pull out the travel trunk from underneath the staircase. Open the rusted lock with a bronzed key hanging from a silver chain around your neck, and finally pull out that silky white dress. Your mother wore this dress when she was married, made from beautiful, thin silk with a full skirt and flowing sleeves. You slip it on over your body and walk outside, and the silence of the night screams. Now the fireflies wink in and out of sight, dancing along with the song played by the stars, the trees, and the faraway ocean. You lift your face to the wind, and it caresses your face, telling you that everything will be okay. You look to the moon, and she nods at you, telling you to be strong. You sift the soft earth through your fingers, and it tells you that it will get better. And for the first time in your life, you know what it feels like to be calm.
This has been the very special one-year episode of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed, and stay tuned for the next episode. Bye!